Welcome to This Is America in VOA Special English. I'm Barbara Klein.
And I'm Mario Ritter. This week on our program, we talk about the growth in the Hispanic population, America's largest minority group. We also tell you about calls for a national museum to honor their history and culture. And we find out why some retired Americans are buying homes in Mexico.
More than 50 million people in the United States identified themselves as Hispanic or Latino in last year's national census. That was 16% of the population, or one out of six people. The 2010 census defined Hispanic or Latino as a person of Cuban, Mexican, Puerto Rican, South or Central American, or other Spanish culture or origin, regardless of race. The Census Bureau recently published a detailed report on the Hispanic population of the United States based on the new findings. The population is growing at an even faster rate than many experts had predicted.
There were 35 million Hispanics, or 13% of the nation, in the last census in 2000. The Hispanic population grew by more than 40% between 2000 and 2010. During that period, Hispanic growth represented more than half of America's total population increase. The Hispanic population grew four times faster than the nation as a whole. Experts at the Census Bureau estimate that more than 60% of Hispanic growth was from natural increase rather than migration. Natural increase is the term for the number of births minus the number of deaths. More than half of all Hispanics in the United States live in just three states: California, Texas, and Florida. But the latest findings show how the Hispanic population is spreading out across the country. Patricia Foxen is the Associate Director of Research at the National Council of La Raza. She said there are a few main reasons for the spreading of the Latino population.
The number one reason is probably jobs. There's certain industries that have gotten saturated. People go where the jobs are. There are also a couple of other things, I think, that are going on that shouldn't be minimized. You also have questions like the cost of living and the quality of life.
The Census Bureau says the Hispanic population grew more than expected in 40 of the 50 states. Southern states had the largest increases. These states, including Alabama and North Carolina, traditionally have not had large Hispanic communities. About three-fourths of Hispanics in last year's census identified themselves as being of Mexican, Cuban, or Puerto Rican origin. People of Mexican origin represented about three-fourths of the increase in the Hispanic population since 2000. There are now about 32 million people of Mexican origin in the United States. Puerto Ricans were the second largest group, at nearly 5 million. People of Mexican origin represented the largest Hispanic group in 40 states last year. More than half of those states are in the South and West. Mexicans were also the largest group in the Midwest and in two states in the Northeast. Puerto Ricans were the largest group in most of the Northeast, and in one western state, Hawaii. Dominicans were the largest group in one northeastern state, Rhode Island. In the South, Cubans were the largest Hispanic origin group in Florida. Salvadorans were the largest group in Maryland and the District of Columbia.
The Census Bureau first reported in 2003 that Hispanics outnumbered blacks, formerly the nation's largest minority. Last year, just over 12.5% of people identified themselves as black or African American alone. About 5% of people in the United States identified themselves as Asian and no other race. Compared to 2000, there was a 46% increase in people who described themselves as Asian alone or mixed race. That was more than any other major race group. By some estimates, non-Hispanic whites will become a minority in the United States in about 30 years. In some states, non-Hispanic whites already are a minority, including Texas, California, New Mexico, and Hawaii.
Census results have important political effects. Every 10 years, states use the population numbers to redraw the maps of legislative areas. The process is called redistricting, and it includes congressional districts in the House of Representatives.
A federal commission is urging Congress to establish a national museum to recognize the history and success of Latinos. The museums of the Smithsonian Institution in Washington already include the National Museum of the American Indian. A National Museum of African American History and Culture is expected to open in 4 years. There are museums throughout the country that display Latino culture. But supporters say it is important for the country's largest minority group to have a national museum in the nation's capital. The commission included actress Eva Longoria and other celebrities. The group spent a year asking Latinos what they would want to see in a museum of their own. We asked some visitors to Washington what they thought of the idea. Chris Peek and his family are from Louisville, Kentucky.
Part of the melting pot. It's part of American culture and history.
John Carrero and his wife Sally live in Southern California.
In about 10 years, the Latinos gonna mean a whole lot for voting and everything in this country. I would love to see one, but
I would too.
And especially people from this part of the United States, because from where we're from, you know, Southern California or Texas, Arizona, what have you, it's probably 50% Latino at this time. I think the people here would love to see that.
Maxine lives in Maryland.
I think you should represent everybody. You know, why just a few groups? Everybody should be represented.
Maxine's friend, Carol Bradwell, lives and works in Washington.
Sure, I'd go. Especially Smithsonians are free, and people come all over the world just to visit here. Why not build something good?
Some retired Americans looking to save money are moving south to Mexico. Among them are Michael Baldwin and Stephanie Villarol. They spoke with VOA on Skype recently from their home on Mexico's Baja Peninsula.
We've been here almost a year now. We moved from Houston, Texas, came kind of down temporarily last summer and made the decision to make it permanent. And we actually drove from Houston to Cabo San Lucas.
Mr. Baldwin says they love the natural beauty and weather of Mexico. They also love the savings.
Houston versus Cabo, our expenses have been reduced by about 30%.
Stephanie Villarol says they have enjoyed getting to know people in their new community.
We have lots of friends, and they're very welcoming. And I mean, that's one of our favorite parts of living here is the people.
One thing they have noticed very little of, she says, is crime. In the past 5 years, an estimated 40,000 people have been killed in drug-related violence in Mexico. The Mexican government has been fighting powerful drug groups, and these cartels have also been fighting each other. But Rodolfo López Negrete says there are still many areas untouched by the crime and violence of the drug trade. Mr. López Negrete is the chief operating officer of Mexico's tourism board.
Out of the 2,500 municipalities that we have in Mexico, the equivalent to the counties that you have in America, 80 of those have witnessed episodes of violence.
He says American citizens living in the main resort areas of Mexico provide their own vote of confidence.
Major timeshare developments, the major fractional developments or full ownership, more than half of those purchases are from Americans.
In Houston, Chris Hill works with an industry group called the Mexico Real Estate Coalition. Mr. Hill says activity has slowed in the past few years, partly because of the recession, but also because of the violence. But he points out that the violence in the news is generally not near areas that are popular with foreigners.
All of these crime-related stories that we're hearing, drug-related, they have very little, if any, impact on a tourist or someone going to live in Mexico.
Americans who want to buy a home in Mexico might also have another security concern. It involves the security of their investment. Mexico's constitution bars foreigners from owning property within 50 kilometers of the coast. But foreigners can buy part of a Mexican real estate trust. Through these trusts, Americans can own a beach home indirectly. Chris Hill says new legal guarantees make real estate investment in Mexico safer and easier than in the past.
We believe that long-term Mexico is going to be a wonderful opportunity for retirees to live. The cost of medical services and health-related issues, but also the overall cost of living in Mexico is far lower.
Our program was written and produced by Brianna Blake with Greg Flakes. I'm Barbara Klein.
And I'm Mario Ritter. You can watch a video about Americans living in Mexico at voaspecialenglish.com. You can also find transcripts, MP3s, and podcasts of our programs. Join us again next week for This is America in VOA Special English.